I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
To the Rock Chalk Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Mintz. Today, we are getting ready. This would normally be the instance where we're, you know, recording with someone from the team, kind of picking their brain. We've already done that earlier this week for anyone that was paying any attention. David had actually talked with the Indiana State play-by-play guy. So I thought, why don't we go ahead and talk about this game from a KU perspective. To help with that, brought back friend of the podcast. He's been on a couple times. Fitz from, he writes over on Hawk Jock. He has the Hawk Jock podcast. Fitz, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good, man. How's things with you?
Doing pretty good. So, I've been listening to some of the stuff you guys been doing recently. You guys are still killing it over there with all the guests that you have. Are you excited about, or are you as excited about this season, you know, the first game with Les Miles as the rest of us are?
You know, I am, man. Les Miles is definitely one of my favorite coaches in college football. I watched him when he was at LSU, and just what he did with that program was just incredible. And so it's pretty much my dream hire. So I've been definitely enjoying it. As the game gets closer, though, and the more I learn about Indiana State, I'm getting more and more nervous. So, I don't know. I don't know what to expect at this point, but I'm hoping for the best.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we couldn't get like a North Dakota State first game for Les Miles. We had to get a team that is, last I saw, I think they were ranked 16th in the FCS poll. They are expected to win their conference this year and go to the playoffs and can compete for a national championship down at that level. So this isn't a gimme game by any means. We saw last year with Nichols that, you know, those FCS teams that are expected to be pretty good usually are actually pretty good. I'm excited. I broke out the Less Football, More Wins t-shirt that I got a while back for the podcast. I'll be wearing that on Saturday during the game. I'm really excited to go ahead and get this going. So obviously there's been a few interesting stories, I guess is the way that I'll put it. Initially, or it came out earlier this week that Les Miles does not plan on naming a starting quarterback before the game starts, and he may not even have a starting quarterback. The way that he phrased it is that the starting quarterback we have this week may not actually be the starting quarterback long term. Are you having flashbacks, or are you not too worried about the fact that we don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be?
He did mention, he changed that up. He did mention in Hawk Talk tonight at Johnny's West that they do have a starting quarterback, but he's not going to disclose it until game time. So that's different than what we heard. I heard this. Yeah. So we heard obviously that he wasn't going to name somebody, and they were going to wait until after the game to name someone. But either way, I think what he's doing is he's just being careful. I don't think, and he said this before as well, he doesn't want to name a starting quarterback and then that quarterback not work out and then have to go to his second guy and say, hey, now you're the starting quarterback, the guy that he basically didn't put all his confidence in. So, this is his first year, so he wants to see these guys play. So I'm assuming even if he says they have a starting quarterback, so I think regardless of who starts, they're both going to get plenty of playing time, I feel like, unless whoever starts off and just plays an incredible game. Obviously we probably won't see the other one very much, but, as far as being worried about it, there is always those horrible memories with Beatty and just the last 10 years of horrible quarterbacks that we've had. And maybe not even just bad quarterbacks. I think probably more of just bad coaching, the quarterbacks. you know, it definitely brings that up. But it's a different situation. It's Les's first year. He was out of coaching for a couple of years. His issue with coaching was the offensive side of the ball and the quarterback situation. So I think he's just trying to play it safe, you know, and just see, he wants to see these guys play before I think he makes a concrete decision. You're going to be the starter. But I think once he finds that starter, he's going to ride with that person for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, normally you think, you know, how much role gamesmanship do you need to do with an FCS school? But like we had said in the kind of the opening there, you know, this isn't your standard FCS school that is, you know, easily being outclassed. Kansas is still, you know, having to deal with building a program. You know, we don't know what we're going to get. Like, you could use the advantage of them not knowing who it is that you're going to be starting. But it's also kind of a case, I think, where, yeah, they've identified a guy and they know who it is that they want. But, you know, it seems to me, just based off of everything, that those guys were close enough that honestly either one of them could have been the starter. And I've heard a lot of local radio hosts and a lot of people talking about how, you know, oh, that must mean that McVitie is a lot worse than they were expecting. Because if you bring a guy in like that, a junior college transfer, you know, you're using a scholarship on a guy that's probably going to have to be your starter. I think there is still like a plausible explanation in that Carter Stanley has been a lot more impressive, I think, than a lot of people, you know, have necessarily thought he was going to be. And you have to think, you know, he's had 3 years to try to come in and win the starting job. And hasn't been successful, but he's shown enough flashes, I think, that it's entirely possible you get in a competent coaching staff and he's showing a lot more things, you know, in practice. I also think that, you know, he's definitely been, all I've heard in the last 3 years is that how great he is in practice, you know, how competent he has shown himself to be in practice. And then he gets in the game and, you know, he's probably had the best quarterback play in the last 2 years of any of the quarterbacks we've had on the roster. The problem has been he has not been given a legitimate shot. And so I'm very, very clearly on the, you know, my hashtag stand for Stanley. You know, I think he should be the starting quarterback. I don't think he will be the starting quarterback just because I think that, you know, they brought in Thomas McVitie to be the starting quarterback, you know, unless he just falls on his face. You know, they're probably not going to give Stanley a fair shake at this. Well, they gave him a fair shake, but I think they're going to be leaning towards McVitie until he gives them a reason not to. And so I'm fully expecting that McVitie is going to be the starter. You know, I don't buy their, you know, their excuse that, well, if, you know, if the first guy gets injured and you have to go to the second guy, well, then that kind of defeats the confidence in him. I think everybody's smart enough in the room to know you have a guy that's going to be the main guy. You put your trust in him, but that second guy better be ready that if anything happens to the first guy, you're able to go in and pick up the slack for him. Like, you know, if he gets injured, you're ready to step in at a moment's notice. You got to prepare like you are going to be the number one guy. You just don't get as many reps in practice with the first team. So I don't buy the injury excuse that they initially gave. You know, I think honestly, it was just that they weren't ready to name a starter and they kind of wanted to give themselves a little bit more time to kind of evaluate everybody. So now, I mean, are you kind of in the same boat that you assume it's going to be McVitie? And is it because you think he should be the starting quarterback or just because you think kind of similarly the way they brought him in, it kind of makes it almost a default?
I think it was his job to lose for sure. You know, I think he was brought in to start. And I was really surprised that Carter Stanley stayed around because I feel like he has so much potential and he could transfer out, and I guess he still maybe technically could. I don't know when the deadline is to be able, I don't know if the if that 4-game window, I can't remember that rule, if he can still transfer within 4 games, I'm not sure. But I was surprised that he stuck around. And in my opinion, I think Carter Stanley should start because he's a senior. And he's been around, and like you said, he hasn't been given that opportunity just yet. That full, and yeah, he's had opportunities in practice, but I feel like every time he's had the battle with someone who's been brought in to be the starting quarterback. You know, so when he first came in, he had Ryan Willis and Montel Cozart ahead of him. Obviously, those two guys were going to be one of those were going to be a quarterback, the starting quarterback, and then Peyton Bender gets brought in. And, you know, Beatty brought him in, used the scholarship, just like you said, to, you know, when you use a scholarship on one of these players, a JUCO guy, you want him to start. So it was Peyton Bender's job to lose, you know, and now with McVitie. So it's unfortunate. Yeah, you know, with McVitie, I think he's probably an okay quarterback, but he's not going to be a guy that's going to change the position for us. He's not going to be a guy that's going to throw for 2,000 yards. You know, I've watched some of his highlights, and I'm just not really that impressed. With Carter Stanley, you get a guy that has experience. He knows the program, even if it's a new coach, but he's been around the program. He knows the atmosphere. He knows what to expect. And the dude goes out, and he plays his heart out. Players play for him harder than any quarterback I've seen, or I've seen players play for a quarterback in, well, I mean, years, really. I mean, it's just he brings out the best in the players around him, and he may not put up the crazy stats, but he gets the players to play, and, you know, that's a big factor as well. But unfortunately, I do think that McVitie will be the starter, and from there, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of his leadership ability, I mean, the guys talk about him, you know, the other players on the offense and even some of the guys on the defense talk about him the same way in terms of a leadership, you know, kind of aspect that they did about Todd Reesing. I mean, to be honest, like, he's not as physically gifted as Todd Reesing was. And I think, you know, kind of that's a big part of it, is the fact that, you know, but he has the same kind of leadership qualities, the way that he gets, you know, inspires guys. You know, so some of the best quarterback play we saw in the last 2 years, well, actually 3 years, I mean, even, it came when Carter Stanley was playing. He played really well against Oklahoma State. They didn't win that game. He got like a series and a half against West Virginia. He started that game against West Virginia last year, got like a series and a half, and then got yanked for Bender. And, you know, I mean, he didn't do very much in that West Virginia game, but he didn't get a chance to establish a rhythm. He didn't get a chance to do anything. You know, and West Virginia, like, we were in that game not because of what Peyton Bender did. We were in that game because of what the defense did. And you know, yeah. I'm not saying that if Carter Stanley was in there that they would have won, but he didn't get an opportunity to win that game, even though he had, for all intents and purposes, had won the starting job in the previous game. You know, he played a tough game against Oklahoma State through three touchdowns. You know, he went 24-32 in that game. And so I was expecting him to get a fair shake the next week, and it just never happened. And, you know, we know how much Beatty had problems with picking a quarterback, sticking with him, and actually putting a competent offensive game plan together. So I don't think it's fair to say that Carter Stanley didn't win the job. I think you can pretty much say that, you know, we didn't really know what we were doing at quarterback at all, based off of anything that Beatty was doing. So, all right, I don't want to dwell on the quarterback the entire time. It sounds like we're both in agreement that we think that Carter Stanley should be the starter, but we're pretty much resigned to the fact that McVitie is going to be the starter until he does something to lose that job. So, all right, I'm going to actually go ahead and throw it to a quick break. We'll be right back on the Rock Chalk Podcast.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
And we're back. Okay, so kind of talking specifically about this game, you know, I've done a little bit of scouting on Indiana State. I'm not sure how much you've done. I've been trying to keep I've been keeping an eye a little bit on what you've been writing over there at Hawk Chalk, but I haven't seen anything specifically about Indiana State yet. That being said, I may have missed a couple things in the last day or so here. You know, how much have you looked into Indiana State, and what are kind of the impressions that you're getting about this team in terms of what we need to watch out for on Saturday?
Well, I will say I'm definitely not an expert on them. I haven't done a ton of digging with FCS opponents. It's a little bit harder to find good information about them. But what I have read, they return a lot of guys. So they have a lot of experience. They have a really good quarterback, which Nichols last year did not have a very good quarterback, and they still beat us. You know, so that's going to be a tough area for us. They also have a good run defense, you know, which is going to be – that's our strength, is running the ball. So if they stop us running the ball, then, you know, it could be a rough day for us. But they have a really good coach. They were at one point – I think they were 0-11 or 0-12, whatever. I can't remember how many games they play. And then they came back and had a 7-4 record. So, yeah, they were 0-11, came back the next year, were 7-4, missed the playoffs. And, you know, they're hungry. They thought they should have been in. I think they went on a 5-game winning streak the last 5 games of the season. And, you know, they thought they should have been in the playoffs. So this is a team that's going to come in, and they're going to be hungry. They're going to be out to prove that they should have been in the playoffs the previous year. And they have a lot of returning guys, so it's a lot of those same guys that had to go through that. So it's a scary matchup, I'll be honest. You know, it's not going to be one of those teams. I honestly think it's going to be they're a tougher matchup for us than what Nichols was. And Beatty should have beat Nichols last year. He basically gave that game to them. And also we didn't have Puka. So, and of course we don't have Puka the first game for this one either. So, I don't know. Like I said, I haven't done a ton of research on them, but from what I'm seeing, it definitely makes me nervous, and it's going to be a tough matchup.
Yeah. So what I've been able to kind of gather, and part of this that we got from listening to David talk with the Indiana State play-by-play guy, and some of it's just kind of some stuff I found kind of just around the internet, but, you know, they were, you know, for all intents and purposes, everybody assumed that they were going to make it last year in the playoffs, and they didn't get that. And they have pretty much everybody coming back from that team last year. You know, they need a new starting left tackle. But basically everyone else from offense is back. The QB was the Missouri Valley Conference newcomer of the year last year, Ryan Boyle. And, you know, he was really good both running it as the QB and also throwing it. You know, they have Titus McCoy as a running back. You know, he was kind of thrust into the role last year because they had some other problems with some of their running backs in terms of injuries. So he got basically an extra year's worth of experience he wasn't expecting to get. He's expected to be pretty good. You know, they also have a few transfers that are coming in that, you know, so they have some really good running strengths. And of course, that's the one spot of the defense that we're most worried about as KU fans. You know, yeah, with basically our entire front seven gone. The thing that I'm interested to see, you know, we were talking all year, and I had kind of assumed that, you know, our defensive secondary was set in terms of, you know, two safeties and two corners and those starting guys. What surprised me when I looked at the depth chart that got released was that Bryce Fornaden is actually listed as the Hawk, which is kind of a hybrid safety slash linebacker position. So it looks like we're taking essentially the best returning safety in the Big 12 and kind of moving him into a new position. I'm a little worried about that considering what happened to Daniel Wise. You know, his senior year or his final year when they took him from an outside pass rushing position to an inside defensive line kind of anchoring against the run position, which, you know, he still was pretty good against the run and played pretty well, but he didn't get nearly as much in terms of the accolades. He didn't have the flashy defensive stats. And in general, it seemed like he took a step back for at least the first half of the year while he was learning a new role. I'm hoping we don't see something similar with Bryce Fornaden, but I'm also wondering how much that's going to shore up, you know, our defensive middle of the field, especially against the run. We'll know immediately because Indiana State is a team that can run a lot, and I'm expecting them to try to run on Kansas a lot in this game. I think that's probably going to be one of the key matchups. In terms of offense, well, actually, real quick, any thoughts from you about that offensively? Are you worried about that running game that they have and our ability to hold up against it?
Oh, absolutely. with all the experience we lost on the defensive line, I absolutely think that it is going to be a question mark for us, and it's not going to be easy. And it's not just the defensive line. I mean, you got to look at the linebackers too. We lost Joe Dineen and Keith Loniker Jr., two of our top tacklers and, you know, our linebackers. So you got guys stepping into that position that really haven't even played inside linebacker, maybe played the Hawk position, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's there's just a lot of new faces, and you just don't really know. Now, there's talent, obviously. There's guys that are capable of doing it, but that's different than having guys that have experience, that are used to playing that position, and they just know it. They just know how it works. And unfortunately, we're not going to have that this year, so we're going to have to figure things out. They're going to have to figure things out as they go. Unfortunately, this isn't a team you want to try to do that with, because they are an FCS opponent, so you can overlook them easily, but they are an FCS opponent that they have talent. You know, they have a lot of returning guys, and they have a strong run game. So, yeah, it's definitely concerning for sure. You know, well, again, it's one of those things we're just going to have to wait and see how it turns out. But yeah, it could be an issue for sure.
Yeah. Now, in terms of defense, it looks like Indiana State is trying to fill some holes on their defense. They only have five starters returning. You know, it looks like they've got a couple holes in the secondary, a couple holes in the linebacker position, and then a couple holes on their defensive line as well. So I'm kind of expecting Kansas to turn this into an offensive shootout, to be honest. You know, where do you think we're going to see the most production? Obviously, we don't have Puka for this game. You know, are you expecting Khalil Herbert and Dom Williams to kind of shoulder the load there? Or do you think that McVitie or whoever the quarterback is going to get it going with some of these receivers? We're going to see an aerial attack.
We'll definitely still see running. I'm very confident that Khalil Herbert is a guy that could start anywhere in the country. Dom Williams is a guy that probably could start in most places. Give him another year and he could probably be the same situation. I mean, they're both, I think, 4-star running backs, or maybe Herbert was a 3-star and Dom was a 4-star, but both incredibly talented guys. I think we're going to see them a lot. They're going to be given the ball a lot, and Les is going to test Indiana State. And if they can't stop the run, he's just going to keep sticking it down their throat. You know, I don't think that he's going to try to outsmart them, you know, and bite his hand off before he even has a chance to see if his game plan is going to work. So we've seen that way too many times in the past with previous coaches. But I think we're going to see the run game a lot. And, you know, if we start doing good in the run game and we're moving the ball, I think he's just going to stick that way. I don't see any reason to try to do an aerial attack when you're going to be putting in a quarterback that we just don't, that's still a big question mark. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with that. So, yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that they need to try to get the passing game going, because this is probably going to be our best opportunity to do something like that. It's also kind of one of those things that, because there is no real weakness to this defense, you know, I don't think we can just straight up run it the entire game and expect them to not kind of overload the box and be able to shut it down eventually. You know, we do have some strong guys, and our offensive line is supposed to be a strength on this team with how deep they are and how experienced they are. I'm really curious to see just how much that actually is the case. And, you know, what we saw last year in the game against Nichols was that our offensive line was not competing well against our defensive line, and just athletically. You know, if we see something like that again, I'm going to have real bad flashbacks, and I'm going to have a lot of worry going into the rest of the schedule. I am expecting, just based off of everything I've been seeing and everything I've been hearing, is that our offensive line is definitely a lot more physical this year. They're a lot bigger. They've been able to really kind of gel together. You know, Akeem Adeniji is kind of, you know, I guess he's a consensus All Big 12 player preseason wise. And, you know, an opportunity, I think, to kind of make a name for himself nationally if he's able to, you know, if the offensive line really improves for Kansas and the offense can get going, You know, there's already kind of a little bit of rumbling in terms of honorable mention, you know, for him potentially to get some attention in this year. And so, but he's been talking up Senator Appy Main like crazy, you know. And I mean, we have Tovu, I always forget what his name is. I think it's Tovu, I believe, is the backup center in this case. Although, you know, they haven't really officially selected one on the depth chart, but you know, I'm hearing that there's a lot of good work with this offensive line, which is going to help the running game a lot, but it's also going to give us protection for the passing game. If we don't get a good balanced attack going, then I'm going to be real worried that it's going to set us up in the next few weeks here for opposing teams to kind of just shut us down, because, you know, it'll be real clear what our good offense is going to be this year, and they're going to have a chance to attack it. Now, obviously, Puka coming back in week 2 is going to change a little bit of what we do anyway. You know, he opens up some things in both the running game and the passing game with his speed and his ability to change direction so quickly. But I think they have to attack this balanced. You know, trying to overload in the running, I think, is going to be a problem in this particular game, but also moving forward. And, you know, and like you said, like, I don't think they can oversell on the pass and try to really establish the passing game. They really need to try to get everything going. So I guess really, the main question then here becomes, what do you think the key matchup's going to be? What's going to be what decides how this game goes?
That's a good question. It's going to come down to offense. I think what you said being a shootout, because Indiana State does have a really good offense. Their defense isn't as good. Kansas has a solid offensive line, or it should be a solid offensive line. They have a lot of experience. We've heard a lot of good things about them. Some solid running, probably the best running backs. I'm going to say probably in the Big 12. I know that's biased, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. So, you know, there's some offensive on each side. There's that potential to be a shootout because of the offensive players that each team has. But I think it's going to really just come down to the defensive side and what team is going to make the most stops, which I like our edge in that just because of our secondary. And we do have some talent at that linebacker position. And I think Kyron Johnson really is going to step up and he's going to have a big year this year. So, but I think it will come down to the defensive side. Whoever's defensive line and linebackers play the best is going to be the team that's going to win.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that it's going to come down to that front seven for both sides. You know, Kansas, I think, is going to – I do think that both teams are going to kind of light up the scoreboard. And I've seen a lot of predictions of, like, you know, 21-20 games or, like, 17-14. I don't see how this game is going to be a low-scoring game at all. Kansas should have – you know, be more physical on defense, especially up front. But I just think that Indiana State has a huge advantage of having a bunch of guys that have already been together, that already kind of have gelled and really worked together. They're not installing a new system. They're not dealing with any of that. So they're going to be able to get out to a quick start. The question is going to be, how much has Kansas' defense improved, and how much of the problems that they had last year, especially with the deep ball, were because of coaching and the scheming and all of that. So I'm not really sure what to expect, but I do think it's ultimately going to come down to, I think it's going to come down to both passing games. Like, I think both of these teams have shown that they can run. They both know that that's kind of a strength of their team. Which team is going to be able to get the passing game going? Which secondary is going to give up the most big passing plays? Will ultimately decide that. I do end up seeing this being a very close game going down the stretch. It's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable, I think. But with how good of a team Indiana State is, I think if you can get out of this game with a win, no matter how close it is, you know, even if it goes to overtime or something like that, I think you have to feel good about it as a Kansas fan. All right. So I do want to get an official prediction from you, and I have a couple other things I want to wrap up with. But before we do that, I do need to go and throw it to another quick break. We'll be right back on the Rock Chalk Podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. Okay, so obviously it's that time. It's time for us to give an official prediction for this particular game. I will let you go ahead and go first. What do you think happens in this game? What do you think the final score is going to be? And who do you think is going to go ahead and take the opening game victory?
Well, you know, I haven't done a ton of studying on Indiana State. I made a prediction before I looked into them a lot. And, you know, I had to change it a little bit just because of all the guys they have returning on offense and really just how good their offense is. And just how hungry the team is just from last year, how they feel they should have gotten the playoffs. So they have something to prove this year. But my prediction, I think at this point, I would say 35-24. I know it's not a huge, you know, a ton of scoring, but I don't think it's going to be a game where there will be scoring and it'll be steady. There won't be a ton of punts, but I think both teams are going to be very methodical in their approach. And I think we're going to see a lot of running the ball from both sides. You know, so it's going to take up some clock. So it's going to feel like there's more points than 35-24. But I think KU does come out with the edge in this one. And I think the game's going to feel a lot closer than the 35-24. But I think what really is going to set us apart is our defensive line play. And obviously it's going to be very tough for Indiana State to pass on us because of our depth and experience at the defensive back position. So I think that's what it's going to come down to, but I think it'll be an exciting game either way. And Kansas fans will be nervous there towards the end, but I think KU is going to get a late score to kind of separate a little bit and let fans kind of relax the last few minutes of the game.
Yeah. I mean, I have to agree with you that I think it's going to be a close game. I actually think it'll be close the entire way. Like you said, I think we're going to see a lot of long sustained drives as both teams are kind of running the ball, just doing whatever they need to do to get that first down. We're not going to see a lot of long passing plays. I think Kansas will get one. I do think that Daylon Charlotte is going to have a long reception for a touchdown. I think that KU is going to win this game probably 28-24. It's going to involve, you know, them probably fending off a late charge. I would expect, I don't think any of these teams are going to lead by more than, you know, like, I don't think there'll be a double digit lead for the entire game. It's going to be a real dogfight back and forth. I'm thinking that it's really just going to come down to, you know, who has the ball last, or who can make that big stand at the end. Like, I think we're going to have a drive, you know, whoever's driving in 2 minutes is going to be a drive to try to go win the game. And, you know, it's just going to come down to that final drive there. I do think Kansas will pull it out. I would not be surprised if they get a real quick stop at the very end to thwart, you know, and to really give everybody a huge sigh of relief at the very end as they are able to stop them, whether that's a late turnover or just forcing them into a fourth down situation that they can't convert. But I think it's going to be a really stressful game for a lot of fans. But, you know, the thing that I think a lot of people need to realize is the fact that, you know, Les Miles is installing his system. You know, things have been going well from what we've been able to tell, but there is still a lot of wounds, you know, a lot of uncertainty, you know, from what's been coming from the last few years. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be particularly pleasant at times. But, you know, we are this program is moving in the right direction. It's just a matter of when, not if they can get it turned around. You know, we're not going to see the same in-game situations where you just can't understand at all what he's doing. I'm not saying everything Les Miles decides to do is going to work, but I can at least say that, you know, the vast majority of the times you're going to understand what he was trying to do and why he was trying to do it, and whether it works or not is just going to be a matter of whether the athletes perform or not. We're not going to have any situations like we had David Beatty where, you know, you wonder, what the hell is he doing? Why is he calling that? Why are we punting on fourth and one with, you know, 10 minutes left and we're down by 10 points? You know, we're not going to have any of those stupid stuff like that. You can have confidence that Les Miles knows what he's doing. If he's doing it, there's probably a reason for it. And there's not going to be a bunch of decisions where you look back and later and say, look, you know, the coach probably cost us the game here because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. So definitely look forward to that. But, you know, I do think for this particular game, it's going to be a really close one, but I do think that Kansas pulls it out. All right, Fitz, any other thoughts about this game particularly that you want to share?
You know, you brought up a point where, you know, Les Miles is installing his new system, and I think what fans have to realize is, yeah, there's a lot of hype this year, and coming into this game, people are going to come in and they're expecting us to win. They're expecting to see a different product on the field. And I think you will see a different product, and it's going to be less mistakes, just like you had just mentioned. You're going to see a coach that manages the game much better. You're going to see a coach that's experienced, that knows what to do and in what situations. But it's not necessarily going to be a game where you feel like everything's turned around, you know, where, oh my gosh, you know, we won by 30 or 40 points. You know, this is Les Miles is going to take us to a bowl game this year. So I guess what I urge fans is to be open-minded, to be patient. This is a process. You know, Les Miles, he came in to a tough situation, lost. I think we lost like 25 some players, a lot of really key players to last season. And we only won 3 games last season. And then Les comes in, he's installing a whole new system. He had to put together a recruiting class that had just one guy and Tory Loughlin. So he had to finish that up. And even then he was limited on how many he could have. Because of all the blue shirts and stuff with the previous staff. So he's climbing a mountain, you know, so when you first start climbing that mountain, it's going to be tough, you know, and it takes a while to climb a mountain. So, I guess just for fans, come to the game, have fun, be patient, and don't expect any blowouts this year. Especially not this first game, because Indiana State's going to be ready, but I guess that's really kind of all I can say at this point is just to have that patience and support.
Yeah, and you're climbing a mountain metaphor. You know, if you think about it, there's all that buildup as you're coming up before the slopes really hit, you know, or you're walking up to it, you see it start to tower in front of you, you get really excited. You know, that's all the hype that we've been having. And you get, as it gets closer and closer, you know, you get more and more excited, you get ready for it, you kind of steel yourself for that first climb. But once you hit that first climb, you realize just how difficult it is. And I think we're fast approaching that point. Like, you know, the first game is going to be that first climb. You know, how fast do we attack it? How well can we get into a groove? How quickly, you know, and do we find that pathway that's going to make it easy for us to get up there? There's a lot of those kind of, it's actually a really good metaphor. And I think it's, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty there. You know, this is a kind of thing that we haven't done. And, you know, we don't know what Les is going to bring to it and be able to kind of make that easier on us. But it's really a question of, you know, how quickly can we get it going? Can we get it going enough that there's a lot, you know, that adds to the excitement? Or is it going to kind of be that sudden realization that, you know, this is going to be a process? I still think that the enthusiasm of the fan base is going to be there for a while. Unless we go, you know, 0-12 this year, I don't think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to gripe too much. Unless we're getting blown out in every single game, except for, you know, the one or two that we win. You know, I think that'll kind of be my final question for you. You know, we've talked about this particular game, and I've been kind of collecting opinions from a bunch of people from all over the place. What do you see, just kind of in general, whether you want to give me like an overall record prediction or anything like that, what do you see for this team? You know, and what are you expecting from this team over the course of this first season for last month?
Really, at this point, with Les Miles, I would just expect better game management. We're going to see, just like you had mentioned before, situations where he's going to do something and you're going to say that makes sense. It may or may not work, but you're going to know, you're going to understand why he's doing it. You're not going to have, let's call a timeout on 4th-and-1 and let's punt the ball after the timeout. You know, so you're not going to see stuff like that. You're going to see the coach that knows what he's doing, that has a plan ready. As far as a record, you know, if you're looking for wins this year, I wouldn't expect it. You're not going to see a ton. My prediction is about 2-3 wins. Obviously, just like all fans, I'm hoping for a bowl game. But, man, that's like climbing a mountain in one day. You know,
right.
That's not going to happen. So I would say 2 to 3 wins, competitive in most all games, but maybe the Oklahoma and Texas game, and just better game management, enjoying the game, actually being at the game, understanding what the coach is doing, and not just pounding your head thinking, I could step in and make better decisions than this guy. We're not going to have those moments. So, yeah, just, you know, 2 to 3 wins. But, again, asking fans, be patient, support the team, and within a couple years, it's going to pay off.
Yeah, I think this is one of those things you can realistically expect or ask fans to be patient, because it's not another year of the same coach who, you know, claims to have figured it out and we're just moving along with the same thing and expecting a different result. This is, we made a significant change. We have a significant new direction, and it takes time to, you know, rebuild a program. You know, we have a completely different recruiting strategy. We have a completely different everything. And so there is at least now, it's now at least plausible that giving it time will allow us to build a different culture and to really build this up. All right, Fitz, we're going to go ahead and leave it there. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. Where can the people find you online?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter, TheFitzKU, and I also have an Instagram as well, which is TheFitz85.
Awesome. Sounds great. Yeah, and I definitely recommend anybody who isn't already, check out his work over at Hawk Jock, the podcast that they do. They're always bringing on some great guests talking about, you know, most of the stuff that we like to talk about here as well, but it's always nice to hear thoughts from other fans, from other KU people out there. So, all right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Fitz, again, thank you so much for joining me. But for those of you guys out there listening, if you haven't already, please do go out and find us wherever it is you get your podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a bunch of other different places. Just search for Rock Chalk Talk. You can subscribe there. Leave us a rating, a review. 5 stars, nice comments. And actually leaving a review with some comments. You know, if you can't give it 5 stars right now and you want to give us, you know, 4 stars or something, or you know, give us some comments. Let us know what it is we could be doing better. You know, this podcast is all about bringing you guys information about the teams that you love, and doing it in the best way possible. We do want your guys' feedback. If you want to contact us, you can reach us by email at rockchalkpodcast@gmail.com. We are on Twitter at rockchalkpod. You always interact with us on either location there, or interact with our home site, Rock Chalk Talk, on Twitter as well. But again, you know, we do want your comments, your suggestions, your questions, any of that. If you have any guests you want us to try to get on here, anything like that, we do want to hear about it from you guys. So you can catch my work, on Rock Chalk Talk as well. I also just recently started writing for the Land Grant Gauntlet, bringing some additional Big 12 thoughts there as well. But do check us out at either of those locations. But once again, thank you guys so much for listening. Fitz, once again, thank you so much for joining me. And we will catch all of you guys next time on the Rock Chalk Podcast.